Good morning. It's lovely to welcome you to worship this morning. Psalm 9 commences with these words. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. When the Jews went to the temple, they would make a journey as a family, as a village, as a community. And part of the experience of going to worship God in the temple was the journey together, the singing that would take place as they made that journey. Well, I don't know how far you've come this morning, whether you came out of the house thinking to myself, I'm really looking forward to worship, or whether you're saying, oh no, not again. Listen, the Lord understands how you are feeling this morning. He's here because he wants to meet with you. So let's stand together, shall we? And we'll sing together the song that the band has just played the tune to. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Let's sing it twice through, please. Thank you. Knowing Jesus should transform us from the inside out. And so we're going to sing together 321 in the songbook, if you're using your songbook. I dare to live a life of faith, the life of challenge God has planned, of holiness and victory, for truth and righteousness to stand. These words were written by Commissioner Harry Reid, who's recently gone home to be with the Lord. And come from his own personal experience, he's touched many lives in his 98 years of life. So let's sing together this lovely song. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Let me invite you, please, to take your seats. Is it not our desire that we want to be different? We want to believe. We want to be different. God's Spirit receive fresh today. You may have been filled with the Holy Spirit on many occasions, but friends, we all leak, and we need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. So we have the passion for God and His Word, to love Him and to serve humanity around us. I want us to remind ourselves of God's holiness. You were given a sheet as you came in to worship. There are various different scripture verses upon those sheets. I'd like us to read them in order, but different people, please, to read the different verses. We don't need to make reference to where they're from, but this is the Word of God. And God's Word, we're told, is living and active. It transforms us as individual as we allow God's Spirit to apply these truths to our own experience of the living God. So I'll commence with the first one, and then just as you feel led, follow through. There is none holy like the Lord. There is none beside you. There is no rock like our God.
Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?
As we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonourable, I will be a vessel for honourable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work.
You shall be holy to me, for I am the Lord and am holy, and have separated you from the peoples which you shall be mine.
No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light.
You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth.
Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you. For your righteous acts have been revealed.
I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. God wants to use you. He wants this hour that we share together to be helpful to you personally, but through you to minister to the person next to you, in front of you or behind you. He wants you and I to be agents of his holiness in these days. Song in the Songbook 601 says, Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. And Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. And the chorus, hold me close. Let your love surround me. Bring me near. Draw me to your side. Let's sing the song straight through, please. Thank you. Lord, I come to you. As we enter the presence of God this morning for prayer. Friends, I'd ask you please to remember in your prayers in these days, Doug and Glynis ask you. Doug's had an operation this last week. Ask you please to remember Ray Versey, who's in bed poorly at this time, been to hospital. But let's remember Angela and the rest of the family too in these days. Carolyn Ward's brother, Ray Todd, Anglia Fellowship Barmaster, who needs treatment and needs to be covered with prayer in these days. And to her son-in-law, Nigel Mapes and family. Nigel's had to come back from across the world in order to be there, in order to celebrate his mum's life as she's been taken home to be with the Lord. So there are people. I ask you too, please, to remember Katrina as she is with our friends in Ranley Church, across the road, and also Gemma, as she is at Baptist Church in Maidstone Road, sharing ministry with them and explaining the work that Compass is engaging and developing in these days. You may be aware that there are others. It comes to mind that we need to continue to remember Maureen and John Cates in our prayers, and others. Well, let us sing the chorus once more, shall we? Hold me close, let your love surround me, bring me near, draw me to your side, and as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your Lord. Love. And then I just want to leave the worship open this morning for one or two people, please, to express prayer on our behalf this morning. Thank you. Let your love hold me close. Let your love surround. Sometimes it's just good just to sit in your presence, to bathe in your love. As we've mentioned, people, I'm mindful that often in our evening prayer meeting on Zoom, we are reminded that when we mention people by name, that we've already prayed for them, and we ask you, Father God, to just bless all those who need you in a special way. We recognize too, Father God, that we are needy people, and we need a new touch of your Holy Spirit, your love and your grace to minister into our personal situations. Sometimes, Lord, the person next to us doesn't know what is taking place in our minds and our hearts. But I thank you that you are closer than a brother, and that you are familiar with all our ways. Your desire is to strengthen us and help us. Father God, may everything that is about to take place, has taken place in this act of worship, lift us into your holy presence. Help us to be awestruck by who you are and what you have done for us in Jesus. And we commit to you, Father God, this coming week, asking you to walk with us. Help us to be different. Be courageous where you've placed us, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. There's a lovely chorus that I'd like us to sing before we share scripture together. 328 in the songbook. Words that may be familiar to some of you. To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. In every thought and deed, this is my aim, my creed. Let's make this our prayer this morning. That we want to be like Jesus, not just in this hour, but tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, whatever day of the week it happens to be. Let's sing together. Thank you. To be Our scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 30, all 12 verses. And this is what David wrote. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realms of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts for a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made me royal, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hide your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called to the Lord and I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silent, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. Amen. We're going to be ministered to this morning just now by the songsters as they come and sing for us On the Rock. Thank you.
Thank you.
upon that rock this morning. Life might be difficult in these days, but that rock still stands for each and every one of us. We're going to look at a little clip and then sing a song where that, well, I knew from when I was a youngster. Probably the youngsters don't know it, but it has some actions. The little clip we're going to listen to says it's God's story. Jesus is like us.
God's story. Jesus was like us. So part of God's story is about his son named Jesus. It goes like this. Even though Jesus is God, he's also like us too. You might have already heard some stories about Jesus. Some stories are really famous, like how Jesus was born at Christmas, or how he died on a cross and then came back to life on Easter. You also might have heard that Jesus taught big crowds or made sick people feel better and healed them. He did do all those things, but that's not all there is to know about Jesus. He also did a lot of normal stuff, like help his mom with chores, play with his brothers and sisters, maybe even snored. The Bible never actually says Jesus snored, but it does say he was like us. Anyway, one normal thing we know Jesus liked for sure was being with his friends. Kids, do you like to hang out with friends? You probably have friends who like to play different things. Maybe some of your friends like to play video games. Some go swimming or to the playground. Some like to chase around fake aliens with lasers. The really fun thing about friends is being together, no matter what you're playing. Well, Jesus spent a lot of time with friends. He would go over to their houses a lot just to hang out and usually eat some food. They sometimes went fishing or rode on a boat. Jesus had 12 best friends. They were called his disciples. A disciple is anyone who follows Jesus. We can be disciples too if we follow him. And the really cool thing is, Jesus wants to be friends with us and everybody. And we know that because he was always making new friends. He even made friends with people nobody else liked, because Jesus likes everyone. If Jesus wasn't with his friends, he might have been doing a normal thing like resting. This one day, Jesus was so tired that he took a nap on a boat, and he didn't even wake up when a huge storm came. Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night because you heard thunder and lightning? Well, imagine how scary it would be if your whole bed was jumping up and down too. Not you jumping up and down on your bed, the bed jumping up and down on the floor. That's what it felt like for Jesus in that boat. But he was so tired, he was sleeping right through. Jesus knew God was with him, so he could sleep even during a storm. And he knew it's important to rest when you're tired. Sometimes Jesus rested by going somewhere by himself so he could talk to God. One place he really liked going was into a garden. Picture sitting under a big tree in the shade or climbing your favorite tree. We don't know if Jesus liked climbing trees, but we do know that Jesus liked to be alone to pray and that sometimes he prayed outside. You also might not have known that Jesus loved going to parties. Think about the parties you've been to. Birthday parties, Christmas parties. You're not the only one there, right? Usually lots of people go, because parties are a way for us to celebrate something really cool with people we care about. Jesus loved doing that too. Once, Jesus went to a wedding with his family and friends, but right in the middle of the reception, the wine ran out. There was only water left. Jesus saved the day by turning that water into wine. It was his first miracle. A miracle is when something amazing happens that only God can do. When Jesus did this miracle, the people at the party were able to keep right on having a good time. Jesus played with his friends, rested, and celebrated many times in the Bible. We just don't talk about those things as often because they're regular activities that regular people, like you and me, do all the time. But even though Jesus was the Son of God and able to heal sick people and tell amazing stories to huge crowds, he was also a lot like us. And that's part of the story of Jesus. So in case you missed it, here's the quick version. Jesus was born on Christmas. He taught thousands of people. He healed the sick. Jesus also knew it was important to be with his friends, rest when he was tired, and celebrate when something exciting happened. So he did, just like us. And that's a part of God's story.
Okay, Jesus wants to be our friend, and he wants to be part of every aspect of our lives. This is the song I've chosen we're going to sing just now before we share a prayer with our young people as they go out with Rosie to their own activity. Stand up and shout if you love my Jesus. Stand up and shout if you love my Lord. I want to know, yes, I want to know if you love my Lord. The second verse says, sit down and whisper if you love my Jesus. Sit down and whisper if you love my Lord. I want to know, yes, I want to know if you love my Lord. And the third verse says, stand up and shout if you love my Jesus. Sit down and whisper if you love my Lord. I want to know, yes, I want to know if you love my Lord. Now, if you feel fit and energetic this morning, I'd invite you to do some actions. So let's sing this song, and if you want to stand up and sit down appropriately, let's do that this morning. Thank you, John. God bless you. Let's sing. If you're ready to go out to Sunday school, can you come and stand next to me? Then we can say a prayer with you. Lovely. Excellent. Have you had a good week? Oh, I do like your shoes flashing there. Well, I'll have to ask where you get them from so I can wear a pair next week. Hello. Oh, don't you just love being a kid? Yeah? How many of us wish we were young again? Yeah? God bless you. Let's share a prayer, shall we? Father God, we just thank you for our young people. We want you, Lord, to bless them in the homes they represent. May they have a good time with Rosie in their activity. And Father God, help us to encourage them and each other, because we're all part of your family. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, go and have a lovely time and then come and show us what you've done. Is that okay? I do like your shoes as well. Have a lovely time. There's a song in the songbook. It's...
The children just didn't want to miss the announcements, but you'll have to tell them mum and dad about it. If you're observant, and you would notice as you came into the hall this morning, that there are notices around saying no tea and coffee will be served after the meeting, and that will continue for the next few weeks due to COVID restrictions. And so please don't go into the Wifey Hall, because there's no drinks there for you. Now, this won't affect the open air. We hope to have an open air. We are not allowed to start really until 12 o'clock by the council. And also, we do have a number of people who come to listen to the open air, and we don't want to keep mixing the times up. So, gentlemen, if we could leave here in time to get, say, to the open air by 5 to 12, so we can sort ourselves out and get a good start, that'd be appreciated. Tonight at 5:30, the Zoom prayer meeting continues, and if you haven't got the newsletter, or you don't know what the different pass codes are, then Jackie will certainly give you that information. On Tuesday, members of the advisory team meet here at 7:30 for our meeting. Wednesday afternoon, friends together at 1:30. And then on Thursday, our Bible study recommences after Christmas. And that's from 1 o'clock till 2 in this hall, and all are welcome to come along to that. Carolyn Ward is creating a flower list for flowers to be put each week on the holiness table. Please speak to her or call her if you can help in that way. Now, it's Church Unity Week, and tomorrow at 11 o'clock in the morning, is community prayers. And this is, again, Zoom. And details, I believe, are on a poster now on the back of the hall. So that's tomorrow morning, 11 a.m., community prayers. Next Sunday, praising through high and lows. We invite you to watch live on the Churches Together YouTube channel at 6:30 next Sunday evening. And the speaker is Amy Key, who's the church leader of River of Life in Ipswich. So that's United Service, really. And so, again, there's a poster on the board giving you all the details how to join that meeting. And then on Saturday, the 22nd of January, there's Felixstowe Pilgrimage. And this starts at St. Mary's in Walton. And it visits, I think, almost 13 or 14 churches. And again, there is a poster for you to look at as you go out. You don't have to go to all the churches. You can join and leave with the pilgrimage whenever you wish. But have a look on the notice. Gives you all details. And then finally, Sunday the 30th of January at 3 o'clock, there will be a messy church. Messy church. That means lots of tables and chairs. Never mind. But if you've got any youngsters, you know any youngsters around, then why not invite them to the messy church? Thank you very much for listening.
The title we gave this morning was Knowing a Holy God. And the very scriptures that we read together reminds us that God is holy. But he also calls us to be holy. We're a holiness movement by tradition. But I think in some ways we've lost. We have lost that sense that God has called his church to be separate, to be different. Not to look down our nose at anybody and find fault, but to reflect the goodness and the holiness of the God we claim to love and serve. The psalm we shared together is a psalm written by David. I will exalt the Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat. David's the second king of Israel. He succeeded Saul, who scripture tells us was handsome, a bit like myself. Good looking. But he lost his way. The Lord let him go his way. And when David was chosen and anointed to be the second king, he could not do anything in order to hasten that day when he would be made king. He had to allow time to take its course. He played for King Saul. He went into battle for King Saul. And while he was anointed by God, his life too, as you read his 70 years of life, wasn't perfect either. He sinned. He fell. He became self-sufficient and thought that because of his position, he would be safe. That's what the Word of God tells us. For you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Yeah, King Saul. Listen, this guy had one of his sons try to usurp his throne. David, we're told in Scripture, when kings went out to war, stayed in his palace and from his rooftop saw a young lady, Bathsheba, bathing, and he sent for her. And he lay with her. He got her pregnant. And in order to try and cover up his sin, he sent for her husband to come back. But because he was an honourable man, he would not go and stay in his house. David was hoping that he'd be able to cover over his sin. And when that didn't work, he ended up having him killed. Now, he's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Friends, just like you and I are not perfect, there are things in our lives where we fall short of what God expects. And those things that we allow to go by without dealing with them with the Lord become burdens. They point the finger of accusation at us. They break the relationship that we have with God. And sometimes we try to blot it out by doing many other things, maybe he's being over busy. Whereas David is saying here, Lord my God, I call to you for help. Where does your help come from? The psalmist says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Psalms also remind us that I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? In this day and age, in this 21st century of COVID restrictions, where are we receiving our strength, our encouragement, our help from? You see, if our help comes from the Lord, we will be healed. That's what verse 2 says. You healed me. Body, mind, spirit, and soul. The Lord's desire is to carry our burdens, not to leave us in despair in any situation. I mean, what David describes for us in verse 3 is for his life, he can see that the enemies that he had would mean that he would experience death. And he thanks God that he's spared from going down to the pit. Because in the pit, there can be no praise. Verse 4, David's reminding us that we need to praise the Lord for his faithfulness. Praise his holy name. And then I love verse 5, which says this, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. You're facing difficulties. What are the difficulties that you and I face compared to eternity in the presence of a loving, living God? You see, we've been kidded into thinking that once you give your life to the Lord, all's going to be rosy. There's going to be no more difficulties. But actually, difficulties transform us. I read this week. Now, I can't say that I watched this. It's an account of a Kenyan or Ethiopian athlete from Tunisia who in 1968 went to Mexico to run the marathon. He's got my respect there straight away, 26 miles and however many feet. But this gentleman He arrived in Mexico just in time for the race. So he hadn't been given time to acclimatize to the environment in which he would run this race. And from the outset of the race, he was at the very back of the race. He started to suffer muscle cramps, but he still persevered. As the race unfolded, there was a pile-up amongst the athletes. And this athlete hurt himself, bruising his shoulder and his knees and his legs, but still he got up in excruciating pain and in cramps and started to continue to run the race. He was advised by those around him to drop out, to seek first aid, but he was adamant that he would not quit the race just yet. The leaders crossed the line. And the story goes that the television crew were beginning to pack up when they noticed this athlete approaching. And so they got their cameras out and recorded him crossing the line some 1.5 hours after everybody else. And when asked why he had persisted in continuing to run his race, he answered, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race." If you and I are experiencing difficulties in our Christian experience, friends, do not be discouraged. Do not give up. God is with you. And it's not about winning the race. It's about finishing the race. You see, David sings the praises of God and wants to be part of his faithful people. He recognizes that the pain he endures in this life is only for a moment, but the favor of God will last for all eternity. He recognizes in verse 6 that when he felt secure in his own abilities, and that's the danger we all face, that as we gain confidence, we become confident in ourselves and our own abilities and not depend upon God to meet our need. You see, David says, "I will never be shaken." But what he finds is that as he becomes more arrogant, the blessing of God is not necessarily displayed upon his life. He has to come to that point in verse 8 where he says, "Lord, I call to you and I cry for mercy." Mercy's getting more than you deserve. "Lord, I've done things wrong. I've made mistakes. I've messed up big time. I deserve death." And that's what God says in Scripture, that sin brings death. But the gift of God in Jesus Christ is eternal life, because we rely not upon what we are or what we achieve, but upon what God has done for us in Jesus. "I look forward to the day," verse 11, where it says, "you turned my wailing into dancing." I've had dad moves since I was a teenager. And I look forward to dancing for the Lord. When we get to heaven, there's going to be such a party that actually you're not going to be worried what my dad dance looks like, and I'm not going to be worried about how you dance. and praise God, but will be giving glory to God. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. The Lord wants us to know his joy deep within our hearts. Joy that doesn't depend upon outward circumstances, but upon the inner knowledge and relationship we have with God our Father. Lord God, my God, says David, I will praise you forever. That praise starts now. Praising God forever. I want us to sing together a song which simply says, Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. It's 874 in the Salvation Army songbook, if you prefer to use the songbook. Words will come up on the screen. You know your walk with the Lord. You know how your relationship is today, whether it's close and intimate, or whether you feel it's distant. Maybe you feel you've lost something of the glow and the joy of the Lord. And the Lord says, come, let's talk together. Come, let's put it right. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been. It matters where you're going and who you're journeying with. So let's sing this lovely song together, and if it would be helpful to use this place of prayer, we'd invite you to come. If you come with something in your hand, we won't disturb you. If not, someone will come and ask you if you want prayer. Let's just do business with God this morning. Thank you. Father God, I want to thank you that you want to place your hallmark of ownership upon each and every one of our hearts. Thank you for the day where we were introduced to Jesus. We thank you for the person who led us to know Jesus as our personal friend and Savior. And thank you for your call upon our lives and for opportunity to love and to serve you wherever you've placed us. Father God, today I pray that you might minister afresh to each and every one of us. You know us individually. You know our personal needs, hopes and dreams. And only you can meet that which is necessary at this time in each and every one of us. We want to thank you that you do not leave us in the depths of despair, but you lift us because you want us to know your joy. You want us to lift your name in worship and glorify you so that men, women, boys and girls in the community in which we live might be attracted not to us but to Jesus, the Saviour of the world. Bless us, I pray, as we leave this place this morning. Go with us, keep us safe. Continue to minister your love and grace to us as individuals and through us to our family, friends and neighbours. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Our closing song this morning is 873. 873, Jesus is my Saviour, this I know. He has given peace to my heart. When my soul was burdened, filled full of woe, seeking from my sin to part, graciously he heard me when I prayed, drew me to his riven side. There by faith I washed and so was saved. His blood was there applied. Let's stand together and we'll sing the song straight through. Please, thank you. Let me share a closing prayer with you, if I may. Under God's gracious mercy and protection, we commit ourselves. May the Lord bless and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and upon me, and give us his peace, both now and forevermore. Amen. Good morning, and God bless you.
Friendship. E is for
big.
L is for another I, well, this is a tricky one. So we've got God is in our
love
and in our
heart.
And the T for Felicity, God is
terrific.
And the last one, the Y, God is.
I'm just going to ask you, please, raise your right hand if you're prepared to pray.